Hey, folks, welcome to the Redneck Country Podcast. You got Real Redneck Todd here, and we are on with Real Redneck Bill. Bill, Tom, are you there?
Good evening, everybody. How goes?
He is here, and we've also got the patriarch once again of Redneck Country, a Real Redneck Don. My dad, Dad, are you there?
I'm here, ready to go.
He is here. Okay. Last week, we talked a little bit about opening day of trout, opening day of turkey, and now we are full-blown going turkey hunting. And so we're now figuring out what they're doing in the woods this year, where season's falling, how early, how late, and how the turkeys are reacting. Bill, have you got any stories of such for us that is exciting? Is the almost guy flipped the script?
Well, I won't give you too much away, but I still have two tags in my pocket, or one tag and one to be purchased, let's put it that way. But we're trying real hard in Stuck to County Bush on Saturday morning, and it was good. I got up 4 o'clock in the morning. I pre-scouted the night before.
You pre-scouted? We've talked about this. And have you ever done that before?
No, I've never done that before, but I really didn't do it the way, you know, most people do, by trying to roost birds at night and stuff. Because I hadn't hunted this bush since last season, I was just doing a drive-by on it to make sure, you know, with the COVID stuff, there wasn't any chains across the trail entryways with signs that say "keep out, no hunting or trespassing." And, you know, I called the county office and assured myself that everything was good to go for Saturday. But, you know, I just wanted to put my eyes on it, being the guy who I am, and and scoping out my parking spot and scoping out where I could go for first thing Saturday morning. So, yeah, it was good. So I got up, drove to the county bush that I scouted, and set up in one spot where sort of the pines met hardwoods, which was on a field edge. And I had a 50-50 chance where I could have hunted the left side of the bush or the right. And I picked the left side. And the birds run on the right side.
That's how it always goes. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, and that's the almost guy in me there. So right at first light, I had a couple gobbles that sounded like where I was contemplating setting up. And I said, you know what? This is what I was going to do. I was going to do a little bit of running, gunning. Didn't have any decoys out. And I decided to right at about 6 o'clock. I got my stuff gathered up, and I went on to the other side of the bush, and sure enough, it got exciting quick. So the birds were gobbling, I'd say within 100 yards. They hit the ground, they answered calls, they kept coming closer, to a point where, I mean, I can shoot off my left shoulder or my right shoulder, and the birds were coming in from my right side. And it got to a point where I thought, okay, time to move the gun onto my other shoulder and wait for that bird to come in. And a couple minutes goes by, and all I hear is the dogs barking and people coming through for a walk. So the dangers with hunting a county bush is there's people. And to be super safe and cognizant of everything that's going on and being a good ambassador for the sport, you just got to take the good with the bad. And even though a bird was in the area, you just got to let it happen sometimes. And the people decided to come through walking their dogs, and that ended the hunt right there. So, nothing.
Did you get to the point where your heart's like...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had sent a quick text message to my dad, who was... supposed to be out first thing Saturday morning, but he slept in. And I said, "Hey, I got a bird coming. How's it going where you are?" He says, "Well, it's pretty good here. I'm having a coffee at the kitchen table," he says. So, but, you know, I'm optimistic, and I'm going to go back out on Wednesday morning to take young Violet. I mean, she's 6 years old, and she's been bugging me every day pretty much to go out turkey hunting. So I'm going to take her out on Wednesday morning.
Ah, right on. I may have to get the bug bit to go too. Well, for us, me and Dad have been trying feverishly to get a doubleheader together. and I would really like it to be Tom's and not Jake's. And so we have a new spot. We've hunted a few times, and Dad, over the last couple of years, but we haven't really hit it a whole lot. And so it was just me and you. Wednesday morning we got up. I believe we had to, because Bill, you said you were going Wednesday. And so we got up Wednesday and went out in this one spot that we've only hunted a few times. But when we were in there, we had gobbles, and we probably had them come as close as I would think 100 yards in the bush, but never close the gap, and they cut across this field and leave. And so we thought, okay, let's see if we can get in there and get them where they're coming across that field. And we've even had them where we've seen 7 to 10 toms in the backfield. And insane amount of toms. So we know they're in there. And so we went and we heard a couple gobbles sitting across from the bush, a winter wheat field, but nothing came out of that bush and came across the whole time we sat there. So that kind of foiled our attempt. And so Saturday.
Okay. Hold on. Before you get into that, you might have to edit this out, but I can hear it double. I can hear you talking in the background of.
Can you really? Still?
Yeah, it sounds like I can.
How about now?
Nope, I can still hear it. Everything that's being said is on repeat.
No kidding. It isn't happening for me. What about you, Dad? Can you hear it twice?
I can't. How about me? You hear my voice twice?
No.
So
just,
you...
Just the one time?
I can't. If I keep talking here... No, I can't hear it now.
How about now?
I did. I heard it now.
Just from me. Background. So it's my voice. I wonder if I
can hear.
I'm going back through Dad's, but I can't hear me twice, which is really weird. Normally I would, right?
Yeah, I can. I hear me twice, but I hear me coming back to me, but I don't hear you guys talking twice. How about now? Am I okay?
Yeah, everything sounds good there. And I don't hear it right now.
So what about me?
Whatever happened, it's gone. It's fixed. Didn't want you to get into a good story there. And
no, that's good. That's good. So you stopped me at the right spot because I had enough gap, but that's good. So I was just going to Saturday, right? So
yeah.
I'll carry on. Let me have a break so I could see it.
And you just got quieter compared to where you were before.
I did?
Yeah.
How about now? How about that?
Nope.
Still quiet?
Yeah, it sounds like you're distant. You're not.
No. Really? Because my levels are out through the roof. They haven't changed on this end. Check, 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 check.
Hello. Yep.
So Saturday rolled around, and Scotty was itching to go, as were we. So we're going back to our secret good little honey hole, the David Suzuki hunting spot where we got deer, ducks, geese, turkeys, you name it.
Nice.
And so we said, okay, and we've taken a ton of turkeys, and there's still more. It's just because of the way that the land is. It, the concession is huge. It's a lot of bush with fields intersecting here and there, and it's just awesome. So there's just all kinds of wildlife, and it's really kind of locked in where there isn't a whole lot of foot traffic and people hiking or anything like that. So it's a really good piece of property. So we figured we know where they are because we've hunted it for so long. So Scotty went to his spot that he likes, that he calls the honey hole, and we went kitty corner watching the same field because we know they either roost right above where Scott's going to be sitting, or they roost right beside where we're going to be sitting in the pine trees. And so Scott's on one end of the field, we're on the other, adjacent corners. And so I knew, and I'm going to let Dad take over and tell this story, because this is Dad's story to tell, but I will set the scene. I knew we would be, if the turkeys were where I thought they were, where they most likely are going to be and usually are, I knew I'd have to sneak Dad in. And we would have to be dead quiet and get set up dead quiet, not walk by, but come in from the backside. So in we go, and Scott goes one way and walks, and we can't go the same because we're going to have to cut all the way across that field. And I didn't want to do that and wake all those turkeys up right along the edge of those pines. So I had to get Dad across a creek. And so that began probably the venture, I would say. So away we go, we get down, and we've got to walk some thousands of yards to get to the creek to start with. So we get to the creek, I go across and drop all the crap I'm carrying, which is my blind bag that has those stick in the ground blinds. It's not a tent.
Can I cut in here?
I guess.
I would like to start even earlier than that, because for me, it's quite a fiasco to get going in the morning. Now, you got to remember, I'm 72. I have lost 85 pounds, which helps, but I wear hearing aids. So on the last podcast, I heard Todd explain this corner on the last podcast. So that was how I found out where we were going to go on Saturday, through the podcast.
By the podcast? See?
I'm glad you're listening. Else you wouldn't know what was going on.
That's our communication style.
And I knew that corner because we've all shot birds in that corner and all the corners really in there, and even down below at the creek. So I knew the area explicitly. So I go to bed that night, and I got all my clothes laid out downstairs so I can get dressed quietly. And I said to my wife, I said, okay, I wear hearing aids, so I take them out and I set the alarm. And I said, you got to give me a kick in the morning when that alarm goes off, because I don't hear it. I
for the
hear
record,
when I take my hearing aids out.
For the record, Bill.
She says, well,
we're up at 3:30. I said, for the record, Bill, we're up at 3:30 to be out there,
right,
and leave it at 4.
Just saying.
So she says to me, well, what time is your alarm set for? I said, 3:30. She says, oh, good grief. But as luck would have it, I woke up at 3:27, looked at the clock and said, oh, good, I don't have to wake the bear. I can turn the alarm off and away I go.
He's so lucky Mom doesn't listen to this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Excited about going,
I guess.
Yeah. So anyway, I meet Todd at his place at 4, and so away we go. Now, normally, we would take the golf cart because it's quite a walk in, and then we'd park at the farmer's place, use the golf cart. However, as soon as I knew this corner, I thought, okay, we ain't taking a golf cart. I'm back to walking, because the only way you can get across the creek is with this little causeway bridge, and then we got to drive right beside this big pine stand that he wants to hunt till we get to the corner, then drive up the hill into the field. And I thought, nah, we ain't doing that with that golf cart. We're going to cross the field right from the road, and I got to get across the creek. And I said to Todd, okay, the only thing that's going to hold us up is getting across that creek if it's too deep. So that's, now I'm ready. We're here. Now, Todd, if you want to continue, well, but I can tell about the creek crossing.
I throw all my crap. I take my stuff. I jump the creek and throw it all in. I mean, I had to really leap. The creek was pretty. It was running pretty good. But I got across, and I got, like, the rubber boots that come up darn near to my knees, right? But regardless, I didn't have to even step in the creek. I was able to make that. The width of it is probably a good jump with my legs extended, and made it across. I dump all my crap. I jump back. I grab all of Dad. Now, Dad is like a pack mule. I want to be as light as possible, and I take what's necessary. Dad, because he's got all this stuff, so he's got to take all this stuff. So, I mean, he's got this extra turkey chair that's up, and it's 360 degree swivels, and the each leg you could sit on a side hill, because you could put the one leg, all four legs are extendable individually, so you can make sure it's always level. And so that's a menagerie to carry in, aside from his gun, aside from his blind bag, aside from his other bag that's got his tripod in it. And then we got decoys, which I normally don't use decoys, but unless I'm hunting like the edge of a field. Yeah, like in this case. So got all of that.
Time for me to interject again. So we're at the crib. So he takes all my stuff, and I got to make this jump with arthritis in both knees and the left knee that will not work.
That just sounds like an excuse.
Sorry?
That just sounds like an excuse. You're talking to two guys that have multiple bull riding injuries, and so what's arthritis?
All right, so I got to tell you, he sticks out his hand. I make the jump, grab his hand, and then he pulls me so I don't fall back into the creek. So we are across the creek.
Yeah, I did. Now, I had to reach and grab his hand as he comes, and just as he started, grab his hand, and I pulled.
Yes.
I took my life into my own hands, Bill.
Yeah, this knee won't.
What's that?
I can imagine, but the fact that he's lost 85 pounds must have made it easier. I mean,
a little bit, but that's still 200 pounds coming. Yeah, right? Yeah. I should have just threw him over my shoulders.
Yeah. If this was a year ago, Bill, I'd have been walking the creek, or I'd have been in the creek. There's no getting around it. Yeah. That's why we got the golf cart.
Cannonball!
Yeah. But either way, the last time we hunted this corner, I had a really nice light folding chair that I use for fishing on the pier. And so we get up in the field and he says, okay, stay here while I set up. Well, I opened up the chair, the legs on it are, it's not four legs. It's got, you know, four legs come down, this but was, then it's this got was the last across year. The bottom.
This was last year when you're 285, 290.
Yeah. So I thought, okay, I'm just gonna sit in this chair and wait for him to get set up. Well, you can't level that chair. So I sat in the chair in the dark. Oh. It wasn't level, and I ended up on my back in the middle of the field. And he was standing over me, telling me to be quiet.
Oh, at the time I was mad because here we are like right next to the turkey bed and Dad's laying on his back and I'm telling him not to. So to set that stage, I know when we hunt this spot, those turkeys are going to be roosted right there. And so last year I was trying, we got what I thought was pretty close. And I'd say we were probably 100 yards from them in the roost. So this year, because I found this little dip even closer to the corner where they are, that if we sit down in, and like I said, we're not in a tent. We have those stakes that it's just like, not burlappy material, but similar camouflage material between stakes that you put out.
Right? They're perfect.
Yeah. So
very portable.
If we put that out, our head, we are eye level with the field. And we put that out it can come up just to our eyes that we're like, it's flush with the field. And we're kind of hidden down in this little dip along this little pine row edge that separates the two fields up in the corner of the massive pine trees. So this is the spot. So I say to Dad, he's got so much crap. He sounds like a wind chime going in anywhere. We're 150 yards out in the field after we get across this creek. I said, you stay right here. I'm going in. I'm going to set up my chair. I'm going to set up the blinds. I'm going to sneak into that field and put the decoys in. I'm going to make sure everything's good. I'm going to come back and get you. And so I did that last year as well. Only as I go, Dad decides that he can't just stand there and wait for me. He's got to sit down and wait for me. And that's when he puts this chair in the wet cut cornfield.
Time to interrupt again.
And sits down and boom, down he goes. And all you hear is this menagerie and all the crap in his cargo pant pockets and everything just make, like, what are you doing? Why couldn't you just not stand there while I set up? It's literally a minute and a half is all you got to do is just stand there. Okay, Dad, go ahead.
Yes. Okay, Bill, you got to know that I invested $100 US in a brand new turkey chair. This thing comes apart. And the legs are telescopic. So I know now when he says to me, and he whispers into my hearing aids, stand here and be quiet. Well, I know now that I can set this chair up and not fall over because I can't stand with two knees that are arthritic. So I'm sitting in the middle of this field in the dark, and it seems like forever. And I thought, he's gone hunting without me.
Yeah.
He's not coming back.
I can only wish.
I have no idea where he's gone. Like, he is not coming back in the dark.
Well, it's because we were so close. Hold on. We were so close to the turkeys. I knew that when I'm putting these decoys out, I mean, Ninja Scotty did not hold a candle to me on Saturday morning. I was creeping so quiet and slow, putting these decoys out, putting that blind out, setting my chair out. I mean, I was so quiet. You didn't even know I was there. I was just a breeze in the dark.
Oh, man. Oh, man. And the lightning bolt came down. And
I tell you what.
He came and got me, took my chair, put it in there, and I got sat down. And I'm telling you, he did everything right. I couldn't believe the setup. I couldn't believe I never heard a thing. And we're just sitting there nice and quiet and comfy, waiting for it to get light. And we are still 40 minutes from light. We are that early. It is perfect.
And I got Dad.
Now all we have to do is hope the turkeys cooperate.
I got Dad tucked
in. You taught him everything you know.
Yeah. Don't bait me like that, Bill. I had Dad tucked up in a pine tree, and I was sitting just beside him. And, it was perfect. So I got the calls out ahead of time, so you weren't making racket with the pockets and trying to find the calls, and you weren't doing any of that. And so as light starts to come up, you're thinking, you know, is there? I can hear turkeys, and Dad can't. If Dad hears a turkey, you know, hears it gobble, you know that sucker's within 100 yards. It's go time. Yeah. So that's your gauge. But I can hear him 1,000-plus yards away in the next bush, way over where I had shot a turkey. Megan's first time turkey hunting with me, we shot. I know that's where they're at. They're in that spot, which is another couple thousand yards across this field, and I can faintly hear them. And one is sounding off, which will call the other one, which will cause the other one, which causes the other one. And Scotty's got some gobbling around him. Dad can't hear any of that. And I'm starting to wonder.
You can't hear a thing of that.
None of those. No, they're too far away. And so I'm starting to wonder, okay, maybe there isn't any in these pines today, because sometimes they won't. Sometimes they'll roost over there. Other times they'll roost here, or sometimes they split up, which is the case. So I'm going, like, maybe there's nothing here. Maybe they're not in this pine set, or maybe they seen me putting out the decoys and they're not going to say a word. And as soon as it's light, they're coming out of these trees and disappearing.
Time out. I got a question. Have you called at all?
No. Because it's just starting to get light. I mean, it's barely light when these gobbles start. And I can't believe they're gobbling already. It made me nervous because I'm thinking, holy crap. Like, if they were awake and it's this dark, they might have been awake when I was putting these decoys out. Like, I was starting to get a little bit nervous. But no, we did not call.
Let me tell you, Bill. It's just starting to get light. And all of a sudden, this bird sounds off, and it sounds like it's in our lap. I could hear this thing, and I thought, oh, my Lord, he's only about 80 yards from us in a tree right to our left. How in the heck did Todd get all this set up, and this bird is still there?
Yeah, not even. I think he was 50 yards. I think he was shootable on the limb. Like, after it got light and after this whole story, where I went underneath that and looked up and seen, and I think I was only about 50 yards from where Dad was sitting.
And you ninja'd yourself in there, and he didn't even fly away.
No, like, it was...
I'm impressed.
It was crazy that he was that close. And when he gobbled the first time, holy jumping, did you jump in? I mean, it's dark. And he lets one rock. And yeah, like, you're awake, I'll tell you that. He was right there. The only other time I've been this close is Dad had hunted on this same set of pine trees where they roost. It separates two fields. One down below is a meadow, and it's unfarmed meadow. And the top is usually often corn, but it can be winter wheat off other times. And so it's a ridge, and it's probably... I guess it'd be a 60 yard drop, and pretty quick. Like, it's a good incline. It's a pretty steep. It's not that you can't walk up it, but it's still pretty steep, and it's nothing but pines from top to bottom. And it just, that's what separates the two. And Dad had hunted there years ago. Dad hunted a turkey, and I was working through the week. Dad was just retired, so he was going out during the week and messaging me, and he'd sit down below, and it would go fly out up top and walk and disappear. So the next day he'd go up top, and it would fly down below and walk away, and he could never get it. And so the last Saturday of the season, I remember I said, I'm going after that guy. And Dad had a church yard sale that Dad had to go attend to. So I disappeared, and I went down below. And the only time I've been closer than the turkey we roosted this Saturday, and we didn't roost it. The turkey we just happened to be under it, but I was actually leaning. I set up and leaning against the tree the turkey was in. He never gobbled. He never made a sound. I got in, I set up. I didn't even have a decoy out. I just put my little blind out and sat down. I didn't have a chair, used my turkey vest, leaned against this pine tree. And before he flew out, stuff's fallen on me. And I'm like, what has fallen on me? And I look up and he is in the tree I'm leaning against. And so he just went straight down to the ground at about 45 yards. And I pounded him the minute his feet touched the ground.
Oh, that's awesome.
Lights out. Dad hunted him, I don't know, 5-6 days in a row. And just he'd go up, dad'd be down, he'd go up.
He just didn't get close enough.
That's it. I psyched him out by sitting. So that's the only time I've been closer. So when this turkey went off, I was, holy geez, this thing's close. And so as it started to get light, I'm looking at it, and then he was gobbling more and more and more and more, and we were not calling. We didn't call one little bit, one iota, and finally, as it got light, I could see him on the limb. And so I actually went live on Facebook, on Redneck Country, for 57 minutes is how long that this turkey, and I was on him, and you could see he'd puff up, and he'd unpuff and gobble, and he'd puff up, and I'm puffing, and he's just a silhouette, but you could see him walking on this limb one way, and then he'd turn around and he'd walk the other way. And as that hour, as it went on, you could hear hens now all of a sudden start to, and he'd gobble, and right with him. And I'm like, oh, I said to Dad, and I'm leaning over whispering right in Dad's hearing aids, so not to make a sound, and we are being so careful not to move a whole lot. And I'm trying to explain to Dad, there's hens with him, because Dad can't hear the hens. So there's hens with them. We're going to have an issue. I got two hen decoys and a Jake, all three Avian X, beautiful looking decoys, right in front of us, like right there in the field. But he's got live hens right with him. We're going to have
a
problem.
You couldn't see the hens on roost?
Couldn't. It was so, and the only way we seen the tom was because the limb he was on, there was no pine trees between us and him. Like no branches, but it was so thick, you could not see through everywhere else. If he was on any other branch than the one he was on, we wouldn't have seen him. But you could see just walking up and down, and like that was something to watch. I mean, him just gobbling nonstop. And then once it got light and those hens, he was on that limb for an hour after it was legal shooting time, right, Dad?
No kidding.
Yep, he gobbled. Finally, I said to Todd, you better let him know we're here. You better let them think that there's some hens here, because during that time, the odd hen would start to come down, but the tom wouldn't. He'd stay on that limb. He wanted the hens to come to him.
Yeah.
But as the hens came down, he would continue to gobble. So Todd did some hen calling. He did some gobbling.
No, what bothered me, hold on, because what bothered me was those hens dropped straight down and dropped down into that bottom field, which... The whole reason I set up in this corner, as we've done this before, is if he dropped down to that bottom, I could dip out of our little blind spot and drop down on the outside of those pines and head him off. And so I was prepared. Either way, he was getting it. Whether he came up into our field and it made it easy for us, or if he dropped down below, I was sneaking down around below and pounding him and sneaking through the bottom of the pines that way. So I was prepared, but the hens were dropping straight down into that field and right below him. And you could see him looking down and gobbling at those hens. And then there was one hen that was just going crazy, wouldn't stop. She was putting and purring and calling and just nonstop. And I thought, oh my gosh, we've got some competition. So I said to Dad, I've not done this before, but we have a gobble call. And I've used the gobble call, but not when they're on the roost. And I said, it's like my last ditch effort. If nothing's happening, you know, throw a gobble and see if something reacts or something comes through. And so I said to Dad, I got to do something. I gave some hen calls and he gobble, but we're not going to compete with live hens that he can see at his feet. They're right below him. And so we got to do something. So I said, what if I throw a gobble down? And because I got that Jake there. And so that it's like, hey, crap, I've got competition. I better go take care of that competition before I go down to these hens. That was my thought process. So I let out a gobble call and he gobbled back. And I did that just a couple times to let him know, and a few hen scratches, and then I throw down the gobble, and then I stopped. But the kicker was when I did those gobble calls, the hens that were down below came right to the gobble, came right to the call, and came right up in. And just, I've been live on Facebook the whole time with it over right behind Dad's shoulder, so you couldn't see my movement, zoomed in right on him. And so these two geese went over us so low, almost dang near took our hats off as far as I'm concerned. I mean, didn't, but I mean, they were low and loud. And so I moved the camera over really slowly and slightly to view them as they dropped right over our heads, because that was kind of cool. Well, when I did that, I thought I heard. It wasn't like the regular and down. It was like a, and I leaned over to Dad and I said, Dad, when those geese went over, I thought I heard like a thump, like, but wasn't a regular. And Dad goes, here he is. Here he is. He's right here. He's right here. And we were whispering, but not whispering, because now we're excited. So now I'm going to pass it back over to Dad, because it's not my story to tell at this point.
During that hour, I could tell Todd was getting frustrated because he's right in my ear and he kept saying, come on, come on, get down. And when these geese went over, we both turned our heads and then turned back, and I thought, he's not on the limb anymore. And then Todd said, I think he's down. He said, I hope he didn't go down the hill. I said, no, he's right here. He'd walked right to us within 15 yards, all puffed up, strutting, walking right to the J.
Now, when he first when he first come up, it was just a head, because it was right on that steep ravine part. And Dad, he's right here, and I look, and it's just his head at 15 yards and an eyeball staring, and we're eye level, staring right at us. And I'm like, oh, and I'm still live. I'm still recording.
Here's what I don't believe, that Todd had a hard time being patient for an hour.
He was really struggling.
And if it was ethical, I'd have shot that sucker on the limb, because 50 yards ain't nothing.
He was struggling.
Yeah, I could imagine him coming out of his skin for an hour.
If I couldn't have seen him, Bill, it would have been worse, because you'd be thinking the whole time, is he gobbling on the ground or is he in the tree still? Is he on the ground? Yeah. Is he in the tree? What's going on? Do I got to go after him? Do I got to get out of here? But thankfully, I could see him. So that it kind of helped me a bit.
That's the only thing that saved you, because you, knowing you, you would have said, I don't see him. He's down. Let's go after
him. Let's go get him.
You would have been busted.
Yeah.
You would have been busted the second you went out of that blind.
It's a possibility.
Yeah. Yeah. He was struggling. I could tell he was struggling because he kept saying, come on. So anyway, here's this bird, full strut, 15 yards. Another turkey. I start to take my gun off the
tripod. You want to take him? You want to take him? And I said, no, you take him. So Dad raised his gun.
Let me get there. Let me get there. I said to Todd, take the shot. And he says, no, you take it. I said, no, you did such a good job. You take it. No, he says, you take the shot. No, you take the shot. And I thought, if we argue much longer, this bird's going to be gone. And he says, Dad, take the shot. So I thought, okay, if one of us doesn't shoot, we're going to miss this opportunity. I started to take my gun off the tripod, and I said, are you sure? Yeah, take the shot. Well, I'm not even aware he's got his camera up. And I said, well, get your gun up, because I still think you should take the shot. He says, go. So at that point, another bird come out of a tree, and we both wondered if it was another tom, maybe, and because we were trying to get the double, but it wasn't. It was a hen. By this time, he hadn't closed the gap. He was standing there strutting, but he turned and ran straight away from us another 7-8 yards.
Yeah, he heard me say to you, wait, there's another one, because you had your gun up. You were ready to shoot. And all of a sudden, right above us, and I could see the wings. I said, wait, here comes another one. Because if it was another tom, then our prayers were answered on that we get a double. But it turned out to be a hen. So he heard me say and he took like 8 quick steps away from us.
Yeah. Away from us, but he turned and stopped and turned again. So I said, are you sure? And Todd says, yeah. So he's less than 20 yards. He's around 20, 25 yards at the most. And so I thought what I did was lined up perfect on this bird, and I pulled the trigger. Well, I went back in the chair, my gun went up, but this bird's wings came out and jumped straight in the air, and I expected to see him fall dead on the ground, do the flop, funky chicken flop, but he ran away. No. And I couldn't believe it. I was so shocked, and I was so upset. And Todd says, did you even hit him? I said, no, by the way, he was running. I was so upset. Well, I went over that shot in my mind and I put the gun up several times and I think I realized what I'd done. I was still sitting down and I was sitting low on the ground, just eye level to the ground. And then I realized that I'd been shooting so much trap that I had a space between my middle bead and my front bead. And I put that front bead right where the neck joined the body, but I could see a space there. I realized, oh, I'm seeing the space. That means my gun is shooting high. And I believe I shot right over his head at 20 yards. And it bothered me. It bothered me all day.
He was never hunting again. I'm too old for this. This sucks. You'd have had a bird if you were by yourself. But I had to listen to the woe is me, blah, blah, yep. blah. Oh.
It wasn't woe is me. I was upset because Todd would have had a bird. Todd would have had a bird for sure.
Now, this is, honestly, I don't think you've ever missed a turkey. In 20 years we've been hunting, I don't think you've ever shot at a turkey and missed a turkey. That was the first one you'd ever missed. Am I right? I believe that's true. So I was in full intent of the minute this thing drops, I'm just going to, this is awesome. We've been live for 57 minutes and this completes it. This is like a hunting movie on Facebook. And then he missed and I had to delete the live video. full intentions. It was question. Dropping. Yeah.
Will you accept my apology for being associated with the almost guy?
That's right. I thought of that. It's on you there. Almost guy by osmosis.
Yeah. I take some responsibility for that on Saturday.
You said it too a couple podcasts ago. You guys talking to me so much now, I'm going to rub off on you. You guys are going to be the almost guys.
Yep. But what? There it is. You know what got me, Bill? Because it was bothering me. It was really bothering me. Todd had done so much work and been so quiet and so successful. And I had blown an opportunity like beyond reasonable. Like it was just incredible. And he says to me, that's why it's called hunting. That's what hunting is. You'll exonerate yourself on the next one. Let's just move and shoot another one. And I couldn't believe he was saying that. I thought he'd be ready to whack me on the side of the head, but nope. Like he was good with it, but I sure wasn't.
It's only a turkey.
He's putting that one in the bank is what he's doing for the next time that he has an opportunity he doesn't capitalize on. But, you know, I've been there and I can say that it happens to everybody. You got a memory and experience and that it to me is a success right there. You beat that animal in its environment. You were able to capitalize on everything except the shot. It was a great morning spent in the woods that we can talk about, laugh about. And the only thing you don't have is the meat in the freezer and the tail on the wall. But everything else is still in the money.
Well, that's it. Mom's happy because he's not spending the money on another mount.
Yeah.
But it didn't end there.
Now he's going to have more ammo.
Well, yeah, that's true. But it did not end there. We packed up because Scotty's still with us. So he was maybe feeling so down we might have left. But it's only 6:30 at this time now. So what do we do? Well, let's pack up and we'll move away because I got up. When he ran away and then back over the edge of that ravine. And I thought, okay, he might have, if Dad hit him, he might be up there hurt a bit and sitting in those pines. Or he might have kind of ran down that side hill and stood. Or he's in that bottom field and there might have been some hens that held him up. So I'm going to go. So I backed out of our setup and went down the other way and hit that bottom field. And I could see two birds take off running. And I knew where they were going to head. So I tried to, in my infinite wisdom, my Ben Johnson moment, outrun them to that. Instead of going up the side hill and try to chase them, I tried to cut them off at this little causeway that splits on a pond. And so I ran up, but Scotty told me later that if from his spot, he could see them. And once they started running towards that pond, they took up and flew over the pond. So there was no way I was catching them. But I came back and looked and didn't see them. And that's when I went in and said, okay, he was roosted about 50 yards from where we were set up. So then we packed up and we headed to what we call the cut, which is a finger that divides two fields. And on our way across this huge cut cornfield. And I mean, when you're talking, you got a foot high corn stalks, which is the worst to walk across. Just horrible. Yep. And so we're cutting across this field. I messaged Scotty, okay, we're moving over to the cut now. And so away we go. Well, as we're going, I can hear gobbles the other side of the cut, like way in the woods, but they're echoing through the woods. So I said to Dad, I can hear gobbles. Well, as we get closer, this finger comes out and it meets this other woods, but there's a good 10 yards open that joins the two fields. And I can see two black specks way far on the other side of this field. So there's two turkeys there, and I've got that spot and stalk decoy in my hand. I left the other Jake back, but I had the spot and stalk, and I had the two hens to bring to the new spot. So I put it up, and I'm walking, and I said to Dad, you stay right behind me in line. Like, we're still a couple thousand yards away. They're looking like little black spots, but we don't want them to see us and run, or if they do run, we want them running at us if they're toms. So let's get behind me with this spot and stalk while we get this and try to work our way left of that opening so we can eventually disappear and they can't see us and we can come up that finger and then around the edge of that field and look and see if we can get closer. So as we're going, I held it up there. Well, next thing I know, I hear whoop, and I look, and Dad is flat out on the ground, blinds, one of his bag things that holds one of his blinds, laying on the ground. And I look back and those two turkeys are running like Ben Johnson.
What are you doing laying on the ground?
Yeah, stubble field with these knees. Oh, man. I did a header.
He's laying face down. Oh, my gosh. So away we go. Back, I got to help him up, grab the crap. So we get to the cut. I put the two hens out just on the edge of this opening. I put this little spot and stalk with a little Jake tail that's now beat up because it's a couple years old now. We need another Jake tail. I put it on just the edge of us so I can grab it and move if I got to. And we're in this little finger that comes and splits two fields, and there's a bush right across from it. So we finally get our blind set up, sit down, get the chairs situated. I can still hear gobbles way off just a little bit. So I said to Dad, I'm going to call a little bit. So I grab the gobble call. Well, I'll be darned. I look up and here come two black spots out the woods on the far side of this field. And I gobble again and they start running. I said to Dad, here come two turkeys. They're coming at us. We just sat down. So I said, nah, redemption time, Dad, redemption. So we get our guns. Well, as they get closer, I can't see a beard, but they're dark and they're kind of skinny. So Dad's going like, are they hens? But they're not acting like hens because they're running to us. Like they're coming to us. Hens will kind of saunter. These guys are coming with intent. And like they're playing off each other as they're coming across. Well, as they get closer, you can see the little nubbins. They're just Jakes. So now we want a double. Do we want the double on Jakes? We typically do not shoot Jakes. Do we want this double on Jakes? And so my gun's down, and as they stop every now and then and look at our decoys, I'll reach down behind the blind and throw the gobble call again and get them to move again. Well, as they start to get, they got about what, Dad, 80 yards?
Yeah.
And I leaned over and said, okay, do we take them if they're Jakes or not? And Dad goes,
and I said to him, you betcha, after I missed a bird and we get a chance for two Jakes, they're going down.
So I believe Dad, with his hearing aids and excitement, said that a little bit too loud. And 80 yards is as close as they got. Oh. So then they just turned around and they took off. And then that was our hunt.
Would have for sure not even thought twice. If two Jakes came in, you guys had an opportunity to have a double on that, especially after the morning that you just started off with. No question at all.
I was kind of happy it made up our minds for us. I said that to Scott later. Yeah. Scott goes, would you have shot those Jakes? I said, I'm kind of glad that they didn't give us the chance and have to make that decision.
But you guys get two tags. I mean, it'd be a good way to burn a tag together, you know, and put some meat in the freezer.
Yeah, that's true.
You got to start somewhere.
We don't normally shoot Jakes, but, you know, special occasions or like a special circumstance, or sometimes it's worth taking a Jake and it's still a trophy and a memory. Yeah. And I thought today, two at once, after I blew that opportunity this morning, yeah, we're going to take it. But yeah, they made their minds up for us. They turned around. They didn't come in.
Wasn't meant to be.
No. Yeah.
And then the highlight of the whole hunt was that long walk back through that cotton picking stubble field and jumping that creek again.
That's when you wish you had the golf. You can't take the golf cart where we were hunting because you're driving this. No, it's gas. You're driving this thing past all these pines where the turkeys are sleeping.
The question I have is after all that happened, did you help him across the creek the second time?
Oh, yeah. Same thing. Yeah. Coming back was worse. Coming back across the creek was worse because you had to go from one ledge to a higher ledge instead of from the higher ledge to the lower ledge. Was, so I had to kind of jump up.
It was really so taking said, my life
in sure
my
you
own
catch my, yeah. I said, you make sure you catch my arm. So I made the jump. He caught my arm and pulled, and I hit him just like a linebacker, and we both went back into the weeds, but I didn't get wet.
I had to give in and just fall back versus stand him up and put him back in the drink.
You're a good kid, Todd. Yeah. Doesn't matter what you're
took my life in my own hands, grabbed his hand and pulled him right to me. Oh, holy jeez, he's coming.
Yep.
And then Scotty so was
we
coming.
Made it.
Scotty was coming down the field, you know, down to meet us, and he put two rabbits out, so we know where we're rabbit hunting next year.
Yeah. So Scotty didn't have opportunity at anything?
Not a one. He said he heard the gobbler, never seen a turkey, other than the ones that we had in the field with us.
Yeah.
So he could see them all, but it was a ways away, but that was it. They were roosted way. The ones he would have been hunting were roosted ways away. Same bush. It just kind of a finger went way down and around and too far away, thousands of yards away. But you could hear them, man. They echo right through that woods. Just something fierce and loud. So I went for a little walk as we were going to get. We said, okay, 10:30, we're heading out, or 10 o'clock. So at 10 o'clock, I got up and went for a walk around the other bush, put seven deer out past Dad.
Oh, so, nice.
So that was good to see. Good size, healthy deer. So. And then we made the venture out. So that was our opening week. So now I don't know. Maybe we'll get out again this week if we can convince Mom to come over and a little early to watch the kids. Me and Dad can disappear one morning, go back to that new spot, and see if we can pull them in.
Yeah. Well, Wednesday morning for sure. I mean, if it's windy like it was today, I don't think young lady will enjoy it too much out there. And again, this is about making it enjoyable for her as opposed to the opportunity to shoot something. And if I happen to be so fortunate that there's a bird there, that's a bonus. But at 6 years old, getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, being out in the bush, I want to make it as comfortable as possible.
Yeah. You know? My 12-year-old has punked out on me the last two Saturdays. Trout fishing, she got up at 4. Do I have to go? So you don't have to go. I'm not guilt tripping you into going. I thought you wanted to go. Oh, I'll go next time. And then she went back to bed. And then this Saturday, she was supposed to go turkey hunt with me and Grandpa. And at 3:30, she came down and said, where's my clothes? And I said, right there. And I said, now, again, you don't have to go. And she, well, I'll go this week sometime. And then she went back to bed. But lockdown, she stayed up till 1, 2 in the morning every stinking night. Yeah. So no wonder.
Yeah, I understand. My kid would have been, well, everybody was still in bed when I got back from turkey hunting, so I know how it is.
Yeah, so that was our week. So this week, hopefully,
more to come, I guess, eh?
Get them, yeah.
But I love my new chair.
Okay, that'll do it for today. So until next time, on behalf of Redneck Country Podcast, I'm Bill Tom.
I'm Todd Millard. And Scott Goodall?
Nope, I'm good.
Thanks for listening, everybody. If you want to be part of the podcast, by all means, hit us up at podcast@theredneckcountry.com. Again, that's podcast@theredneckcountry.com. And be part of it. Join us and have a blast. I hope you enjoyed it. Sitting around the campfire having some fun.